Me too. I did upgrade that, but I basically...
Semi-permanent guest host for a very long time, Bob from Peru.
Now that we're inside this room, remember, short, controlled bursts.
Let's rock!
There's so much
Bob from Peru!
Bob from Peru!
That's sad again. Hey, it's Sunday night and we're live.
We're live and no one's here and no one's listening because it's a holiday.
All right. Nobody
it's
cares.
It's only in the States too, right?
No.
No.
Oh, well, the people. Fucking people. I guess they're not in the IRC. Let's take a look in the IRC here.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, nobody's in
me
there.
And me.
Me? Hi, me.
So if you'd like to join us in the IRC and give us some feedback and talk to us.
Even if you don't.
Go in there and heckle us and tell us that you hate us.
Undernet server.
We'd like to know that there's somebody there.
Where is it, Bob?
Jack, it's in the Undernet servers.
In the what channel?
Rant Radio.
Source R? Rant?
Yeah. Rant
Radio.
Rant Radio.
Just to make it easy for people, I named it Rant Radio.
Rant Radio? Because, well, we understand that 99% of all people are clusterfucks and couldn't figure that out.
So we made it nice
where
and easy.
Where would they be? In the internet servers under www.undernet.com/981461... And the password is fabula. If you can spell it, you can come in.
Did you catch that?
Fabula.
Oh, that's too bad.
How do you spell that? Well, we can't tell
Fub
you.
With a U.
Fabula.
Just like it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. Just like it sounds.
Fabula. And you also have to finish Heavy Gear 2.
That is like
Heavy Gear 2. Tell us about Heavy Gear 2.
True. And we couldn't figure out how to make it work.
Really?
Well, what, this? Oh,
yeah.
This is good.
Oh, you got this working.
Oh, yes, I got that working.
The only 3D game.
Well, it's the first only...
So if you don't have a 3D card...
Fuck off.
Fuck off and die.
Yeah. If you put it this way, if you're not a gamer, you can't buy this game and actually make it work. Every other game, you can buy the game, you can buy Quake 2. And still not have a 3D card, and yeah, it'll still work. But you'll want to kill yourself.
Like,
you'll definitely want to kill yourself. I can't.
One frame every 10 seconds.
Yeah, the big, huge pixels flying across the screen. You look like you're going through a really bad Tetris game, like 40 miles an hour.
Block.
Oh, God. So the guy is like, we went into Blair Witch Project. The guy goes in and goes, "You may have some nausea." I'm like, "Sir, I've been playing first-person shooters before you were born. You're telling me this is going to make me nauseous? Fuck you." And he's all, guy comes in and goes, "Hi, welcome to Colossus." I went, "Shut up and start the movie."
I'm going to get it over with.
I had a couple people clap.
Believe it or not, when The Exorcist came out back in the 70s, people were sick from seeing that.
That's understandable. That movie is still true.
I was arguing with Sean. He thought it was an ear. I said it was teeth and hair.
Well, it was hair, but I think the thing in the in the cloth was teeth and was also a tongue.
Couldn't have been a tongue. It was no bigger than like that.
It was the underside of the tongue, is what I think it was. I think it was the back of the
He was still screaming. He was audibly screaming.
Yeah,
and
I know,
was
but that was the idea
you can
scream behind the horror of it.
Yeah, but it would be one sound.
It was an
oh
It was an unidentifiable red blob with white bits in it.
I think it was teeth.
I do agree with you, there were teeth there, but as for the rest of it...
We'll have to look up the Blair Witch and actually see why and whatever.
It's just like the remains of a burger with some ketchup.
I think so. With a big piece of hair. They must have been to like the downtown gravel McDonald's or something.
Budget of $25,000.
I did like the only part where I actually kind of got out of the slumping position because I was so fucking bored. I came kind of looked up a little bit and started like bouncing my head a little bit to kind of wake myself up. It was when there was I guess there were charcoal-y small handprints on the walls with scrawlings, and I was like, hey, that's kind of cool.
The part that I will not actually fuck it. We're Rant Radio. We designed it. We work to piss people off. I will actually spoil the movie.
I haven't seen it, and I sort of do want to see it. I will not tell you anything more about it.
What I'm going to say basically is the kicker for the end of the film. So I won't say anything.
Blah. Blah, 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 blah. Or we can tell James to put his fucking headphones on or listen to a piece of music or go out of the room.
Yeah, it's talking about pissing people pissing you off, like that idiot who was telling you about it might rip your notches.
It might rip your eyes if you feel sick, close them and count to ten. I'm like, fuck off, pal.
There was some moron with a laser pointer that was playing around before the film started, and yeah. I was like...
Fortunately for him, he did not do this while the movie was playing.
Because okay, I was about good. To, like...
No, leave. I just get up, turn around, and start... I go after people. Yeah, I've done that. I turned around. There were 10 people behind Sean and I in, I think, T2. And Sean and I are sitting back, and we're like, doo, doo, doo. This is in Gravel's, like, the Gravel 6. T2.
Somebody had a laser pointer?
No, there were, like, five guys and then, like seven girls, all giggling and cackling. And, hee-hee, oh, Johnny, you're so funny. Sean just turned around and went, hi, guys, how about you all shut the fuck up? And turned back down and sat down. And I was waiting for something like a cup in the back of the head because I had my knife already drawn. And I was going to draw blood. No. It was already drawn. And I was just going to come around and take like a wrist off or something, right? And I was just like, because I was so pissed off. I paid like $8 to get into this movie. Yeah. Really looking forward to it. And there's like fucking 11 assholes behind me. And I'm like, I'm not sitting here. And Sean's going, man, I wish those guys would shut up. So I just sat up and went, hi, guys. How about shutting the fuck up, eh?
So collectively, behind you, they paid like $100 to giggle in a movie,
right? They
were
so stunned. They were completely fucking, they were clusterfucked. They just went.
Well, you know what you had done? You had done something to this generation. When I say this generation, I mean anyone who's pretty much under about 22 years old. You'd done something that they had never heard before. You said the word in a roundabout way. You said the word no.
Okay, I'll show you what I do. If somebody, if I'm walking downtown, because I'm walking downtown, okay?
Yeah.
If you would be the classical 18 to 22 year old, whatever, sitting or fit 12 to 22 year old sitting downtown on Granville Street,
yeah,
wearing like $600 boots, $300 pants. Sporting three pagers, a cell phone, and another beeper on their hat,
and possibly
smoking Marlboros,
and
selling weed,
yeah,
with a jar, large ferret around their neck that costs like $300 or $400 itself. Talking on two different cell phones. Oh, do you have any change? I'll go. No, actually, I'll just bills. Sorry, man. And I'll just walk on. And if they want to come at me for whatever reason and try and take my
bring it on.
I'm more than happy to oblige them. For one, I can either draw my knife, or two, it could take, like, from Payback and go with, like, a roll of quarters.
Right across the
or,
jaw.
Or this.
That works.
It's not a weapon.
I
was simply holding it.
Yeah.
But it does add 2 pounds to my punch.
Yes. Can I feel it?
And a nice
solid. Oh, yeah. That would...
It's a nice solid punch.
Yeah, that
and
does.
Worse than that is the outside when you're holding it like
scratch.
This. This won't damage things. It'll just kind of hurt a little bit. It's like getting... Can you imagine getting out on the top of the head?
That would hurt a lot.
I'd go, no. I'd punch you once, and then I'd bang you on the top of the head. And if you didn't stop then, I'd either... No, anyways, whatever.
Yeah.
So you get the point. Like, that's why I moved out of Vancouver, was I was getting, like, utterly harassed. And I would also, now, I'd attentively, like, I'd go pick somebody up on Gravel Street. I'd kitty corner across the intersection, bunny hop up onto Gravel Street, and cut down, hopefully going over two or three sets of feet as I came down to Gravel Station on my bike. So trying to jump over feet or just running over people's feet just because I was so pissed off at retards going,
oh, yeah,
that's...
I had to work down there for 2 years straight. Like, every day I had to work down there 5 days a week.
Doing?
Security. I was at the post office. the main branch of the post office.
You did security for the post
office? Yeah, I did security for the post office.
Was it against security against disgruntled employees? Or
yes.
Really?
Yes.
You had to watch out for them.
Yep.
Hey, Bob, how's it going? Nice gun. Mind if I see it?
No, actually, I had no problems with the employees. The only problem we had was one evening... somebody basically brings something up to the security desk and goes, found this going through the mail. It's partially torn off. It looks like there's an explosive device in there.
Mm.
And he's opening up the package, pushing it to the side so he can look in the hole even more. I just fucking hit the floor. I just expected the top of his head to fucking come off. He puts it down on my table, walks away. I call the police, basically,
yeah.
Tell them we have a tray, like a little cart that's heavily fucking armored that we're supposed to put things in there. And I open it up and take a look inside there, and sure enough, there's a whole bunch of fireworks and some sort of large box that everything's attached to. And I'm thinking, if that's a fucking detonator or something like that, this thing could blow up in my face right now. I've got a plastic letter opener, so there's like no metal contact or anything. I'm thinking, yeah, I don't even know if I want to move this. And so take a look at it. Sure enough, they're Polish fireworks, if you can fucking believe this.
Okay.
The way they work is they have a striker box. They have, like, you know, like those Strike Anywhere matches?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you light them.
Whoa! I bet those are real legal in
Canada.
Yeah. They don't let anything but, like, snakes. Those little snakes, those
snakes.
Are black snakes in Canada.
That's it.
They're using up firecrackers.
You're working with a dickhead who's obviously a future candidate for a Darwin Award.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shuffle, real. Shuffle. Bend, bend, tear box.
Anyway. What's in the box?
But they are.
Use a knife to open it.
To give you an idea of just how bad our Canadian government has gotten about firearms or anything like that.
Is it ever good?
No.
Okay.
But to give you an idea, they seized some mail and brought it up to our desk because we're supposed to hold until the cops come. Because they had noticed the bag opened up a little bit and they saw what was inside. It was a bunch of empty shell casings.
Okay.
Somebody had like fired some shell casings and was mailing them to some guy to reload or something like that. And they seized them.
How would you see shell casings? They're not illegal.
Yeah, I know, but they seized them because they were a firearm.
Not a firearm.
No, I agree with you. You're arguing, you're preaching the converted.
Like a piece
you're
of
preaching
plastic and
the
metal.
Converted.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. They seized them.
Well,
I'd charge them. If they seized my brass, I'd charge them with theft. I actually charged my mailman with theft when I was at Spruce Street. Because he stole, stole two of my Time magazines.
What?
Well, he stole them.
Why did he
them? I got them for like a year solid, and then two went missing. One was like a centennial or something, and the next one I was like, and I blatantly caught him. He didn't put it in my box, and he left it in his mailbag.
You saw him.
Saw him do this, and I went, dun, 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 dun. Hello, is this the post office? Hi. Can I talk to your supervisor, 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 supervisor? Well, who's his boss? Okay, hi. I just saw your mailman, well, your ex-mailman, steal my Time magazine, and that's exactly what I'd like, him to be an ex-mailman. Now I don't know what his name is. My address? Blah, 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 blah. Thank you. I never got my Time magazines.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's what really pissed me off.
Did you even get, like, a letter of apology?
No apology, no fuck all. They just fucking didn't do it. He got changed off his route. Guaranteed he didn't get fired.
No,
you steal those magazines? Well, no, of course not.
Do you want to know what it takes?
I am an idiot?
Do you want to know what it takes to get fired? Three separate complaints from three non-associated incidents.
Wow.
In a row.
Huh.
Well, just to make sure.
One prototypical postal incident.
Yeah.
Well, I have no respect for posties because they don't get tickets. They're exempt from the bylaws that govern people from parking downtown. Exempt. They can blatantly park in front of a fucking fire hydrant while a fire's going on, step out, go for lunch, come back to their mail truck, and it'll be fine and dandy just to where it is.
I know. I worked with these people, like I said, for 2 years. They are stone stupid. The people they hire for their...
You know, a building might be burning down downtown, but that letter from Ed McMahon might just be important.
Yeah. Understandably, it is mail, and people do depend on it, just as much as, say, they depend on a courier.
Are you a non-white, male, retarded, handicapped, and deaf, not blind, but deaf.
Blind.
You can get...
The guy upstairs in the candy stand is blind.
I believe you.
The guy, when I my mom was working there, the guy up in the stairs in the candy store was blind.
Yeah,
you would give him money in the assumption that he knew how much you were giving him and you knew how much you were giving him. And if you gave him back, or he gave you back the wrong change or whatever, and there's some big huge kerfuffle and like 300 people would show up, it's like, why is there this problem?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, who should we have watching traffic? That'd be a blind person. He can hear the traffic coming.
There were so many deaf people working on our shift that every one of the supervisors had to take a course
to learn
sign language.
I don't mind that either.
But it's just it's like there's like this government bylaw that says if you're handicapped, you know, like if you're a left-handed albino lesbian Eskimo, you automatically get a job if you show up at the fucking post office.
Yeah, that's a little bit too liberalist.
Yeah,
I think for government.
Stupid, I think is the word. We don't use liberalist.
Well, that's why they have the little laws where they have to have minorities in there and handicapped and all that, because they have to have a certain amount that are not average.
Yeah. As long as they can do the job.
I don't see any problem with hiring anyone. Like, I'll definitely hire someone.
No, I have no problem with hiring a person. Yeah. I just do not believe
in that's like in that whole argument of do women belong on the field or
firefighting or whatever.
Yes, sure, I believe 100% they can, but the politics that follows behind it, forget it, because then you've got, like, pregnancies on the field, you've got morale on the go, and just like,
I don't
you want to see cocks flop out in the table quick, like, wow, let's go over then and do that. We're going to kill you. No, wait a minute. Jenny likes me better. Oh, God. We're going to kill this guy. No, I'm going to kill him because he fucked my girlfriend. And
my
you were my God, she's a lesbian. And no. No.
Firemen?
Fire people?
No, let's put it this way.
They can do the job?
I have no problem. I've worked with...
Especially since they changed the test.
Yeah. For the women.
You have to run like a 2-minute mile. I have to run a minute and a half mile.
Yeah, and I only have to carry half the weight.
Yeah.
That
to me is...
Well, yeah.
That's like,
wrong.
Suck my
that's
ass in all kinds
I,
of
I just,
ways.
I disagree. I completely disagree. As somebody who was a fireman, I completely disagree with changing the test. But if somebody passes the test... I actually had in our volunteer service, we had one woman just before I left.
Yeah.
And she had passed the test, the same test as everyone else.
The real test.
Like that Kellogg's commercial. Like the Kellogg's commercial. That's the epitome of a fire person, I want to know. Picture a 6-foot, 200-pound fireman.
True.
And they steps down, and there's this woman. And she's got like a bowl of Special K, and you're like, okay, I really don't eat Special K because it's like eating a bunch of air, and then I'm hungry afterwards. Except I've got a belly full of milk. Anyway, so like, the besides the point that it's for Special K, like I can understand that yes, if this person happens to be female, happens to be able to do the job as adequately, if not more so, than the average male or average person, then certainly. But there are other political incidences that also go along with that. With like gender typing and la la la, whatever. Like,
yeah, I don't think women should be cops.
Why?
Well, because
who's supposed to frisk the chicks?
Let's just say I'm 5'8".
Okay.
Okay, and I can carry myself. Someone 6'7" is gonna want to take me out. He's gonna fucking take me out.
Yeah, but what if I want to become a cop? Anybody in this room?
Six foot seven, you're
trying
to take me out.
Or you're
stuck with drawing a weapon way before a male officer would be required.
Yeah, it's common.
Okay, Dax is coming out from behind a tree. And he wants to take me down, and I'm a cop.
Out comes a weapon. Well, Dax coming up from behind. If Dax coming up from behind a tree, I'd be frightened.
How much different? For instance, how much different would it be if Dax came out behind a tree and tried to take me down? Yeah. For one, he'd never catch me. I don't think he'd catch you neither. But
yeah.
No, my point is, no matter how trained a woman is, they're not going to be able to defend themselves.
I've had some pretty nasty.
I knew.
It doesn't matter who you are, what you're trained with. There's always someone bigger, always someone better.
Life is a palladium game.
Yeah, There are people that basically are always better than you. But sure, like for instance, I've got
to be better than the average.
I got three friends who are taking Taekwondo.
Bruce Lee was what, 5'3"?
I don't know, but he was pretty small.
But yeah, but his back was also 3 feet across. So Cobra.
There's the.
He was also insane and oriented.
Yes.
Not the sensei of the class, but his assistant is a woman. And she routinely mops the floor with everybody in the class. No, I understand what you're saying. You're saying that basically because you're a woman and you are 5'8", I would be more likely to make a move on you.
Yeah, and a lot of times also, when a man is freaking, their adrenaline is a lot. I mean, you guys get intense. You guys get
I'm sorry, I've
strong.
Seen women lift cars.
Yeah,
my baby! Holy fuck, she just bench pressed a car!
It all depends on the individual. There's a lot of people.
I'm making stupid innuendo.
I mean, like, a friend of mine, 6'7", 250 pounds. You know, we're
wrestling. I can bench press him to the ceiling.
I took karate, I did all that stuff. I go to do my normal flow, you know, throw.
Like this.
And he puts his hands over me. I'm like this, and he's totally over me with his hands on the floor. What the hell am I going to do? I can kick
him in the nuts.
Give
him a quick love tap in the nuts, he'll be over.
And that would be the only thing I'd be able to do. And a lot of times when there's an adrenaline rush, you don't even feel it until after the fact anyway.
That's when there's a lot of...
I'll give you a good point. This guy, Mike, he's like 38.
One kick to the side of the kneecap.
No. I've been up against really big guys and I've thought the exact same things. And I've gone punk and I've been like, right, I'm going to run away now.
Exactly.
I don't care what they say. If I lock my knee, you can kick me as hard as you want in the leg. It's not going to break my leg.
Yeah, only if they're prepared, right?
Yeah, prepared or not. You always take the chance. Just as much as I've got a knife.
Yeah, they take
the knife is a weapon. Whoa. Yeah. If someone knows how to use a knife,
you're
they can
blocked.
Go,
boom,
snap, stab,
I'll
be all,
I
wish
I could
my own knife.
Growing up in New York, I averaged one fight a week for the entire time I went to school, from grade 1 to grade 11 when I left to come to Canada. And in that time, I lost...
Normal people would call that a training program.
I lost, on an average, about 50%. And in every case, it came down to one thing, and that is...
How big your cock was.
No, not how big your cock was, how fast you hit the target, how willing you were to basically take it to the extreme, to basically try and hurt your target. That's what I learned, beyond anything else.
Hurt them so they can't strike back.
Yes.
Darcy has said it, and I think Sean has said it. It's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard
you can
get hit.
You get hit.
Like, I've wrestled with Sean... And we've had, like, Charlie Horse Wars, where I've quite literally taken Sean's full brunt and come back at for more. Only because throughout my life, yeah, I've had a lot of fights, and I can say 95% of the fights I've lost, and the other 5% I just ran away from.
When Sean fights Adrian, he, like, doesn't win some of the time because Adrian ignores herself being hit and just goes at him or whatever, right?
Yeah.
By the way, it should be mentioned to anyone listening, the fight between Sean and Adrian is... Well, I wouldn't really call it play fighting, but...
Play fighting, like, she'll also be play fighting where Sean's not quite watching, and Adrian will punch him in the throat. So.
We used to do the Ultimate Fighting Championship. That's what we did. Whenever I had a really, really bad day at work, we just fight for 3 hours straight. I'd have the wind knocked out of me, my perfumes would be busted, my dresser broke, my bed was broken, I broke the dining room table, and it was just wrestling.
Who was this with?
Rick. And we went at it for a good 3 hours, and I'd always end up crying, always end up with bruises that last for 6 weeks at a time. I'd have fist marks, his fists on my legs, on my back, on my shoulders, wherever. I was thrown against walls, in closets. We broke everything. After 3 hours, I'm like, oh, okay, I feel much better now.
You probably slept very well after that. It's so exhausting.
My brother and me used to do that. We would, for some reason...
my brother and I were wrestling, and at this point, he had bought a brand new futon bed. So he had, like, the big flat-out futon bed, and those are awesome to wrestle on.
Yeah.
They're so low to the ground, you fall off, it's like you're just rolling onto the floor. It's like a stair, right?
Yeah.
But he also had the pillows that go with it, which are futon pillows, which are, like, small oil cans. And they're just as... condensed, like super condensed pillow, which is like insulation and I think lead composite. Because they're so fucking heavy. So anyway, we're wrestling around. Hammer's on.
Hey, Hammer. Somebody showed up.
Hey,
Hammer,
boy.
How you doing?
Thanks
Hammer,
for listening. A
Hammer's,
Canadian.
Hammer's going to, where's he going to? Sarajevo?
Early?
I think so. Somebody said. Somebody mentioned that.
Yes, somebody mentioned he was going over there.
What's he doing there?
Killing people.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
He's preventing other people from killing each other.
By killing them.
By going, stop, or I'll say stop again. And then I'll shine my big, shiny weapon at you. And say
because
stop.
Because I'm part of the UN.
he's going to get nice. Useless. Anyway, it's completely off topic. He's going to get lots of danger pay. Oh, he just said hi. That's our 20-second delay there.
Hi. Hello.
So with your danger pay there, Hammer, I suggest you get a better computer.
Good idea. Hun. Bonsai. Bosnia.
Bosnia, sorry. Bosnia in February.
So.
Go hard, retard.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Try not to get killed. Buddy. Avoid the bullets.
Yeah. So anyway, my brother and I are wrestling around in my room, and we inevitably go into the hall. I understand this is a two-level... townhouse in Falls Creek, and just like my brother, like this is not completely unwarranted. My brother would often I would sleep in like a sleeping bag because I have a friend over and they like use my bed or I'd use the bed and they get the sleeping bag. At this point, I have a sleeping bag, so yeah. I'm in a mummy bag, which is like it's a tapered sleeping bag and it's got like a almost like a hood. Okay.
Yep.
And I'd sleep with the hood because they put the pillow inside the hood, and the pillow doesn't go anywhere. And
yeah.
You're very comfortable all the time because you've constantly got this really nice pillow on your head.
No matter where you.
So what does my brother do? Oh, that's right. He comes in, grabs the zip cord. Up goes the zip cord while I'm still sleeping, and I only realize this because like it's dark all of a sudden, and it was kind of light. Then oh, what's he doing? Oh, he's pulling me down the hall. Oh, and what would be down the hall? That'd be the stairs. And our stairs aren't like the straight stairs. No, they're straight and then they curve.
Yeah.
So I go head first down the stairs
the
into the wall, bounce off the wall, roll down three more stairs onto like another wall, and then attempt to get out of the now zip-corded mummy bag.
Get out of those.
I can get out of them now.
Yeah.
Only because I could flick my toe and open it from the bottom and then come out of it, like, upside down. And boy, would I be
get out from the bottom? Some of them don't even have that.
Yeah,
like,
mine had full dual zippers.
Oh.
So anyway, we're wrestling away. And I short-arm clotheslined him. And then I body-checked him into the closet doors. And our closet doors are like springboards, so you go blah, 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 and he's kind of bounced off the springboard and he's kind of standing up there. At this point I grab the pillow and he's bent over like this going because he's totally like wanged in the head and like right.
Yeah.
And I grab the pillow and give him like the old heave ho in the head.
Yeah.
Like, hit him like solid, like from way the fuck up here, solid right in the side of the head. And I think I gave him a concussion because his head bounced off the pillow, off the door, off the pillow, off the door, and out to the floor. Whap, and he goes down, right? And I was like, yeah! And then I got him from way up here with the pillow, wham, in the back of the head. And I knew because his head kind of bounced off the floor. I was like,
the okay. Coup de grâce with the pillow.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the big hoo-ah. Anyway.
So he's seeing the stars.
He's seeing the stars, yeah. That was
I did a real nasty thing to my brother when we used fooling around wrestling. He had got me in some... Yeah, arm lock, and I literally couldn't get out, and so he was like we were wrestling around on the floor, and I reached over, and I just meant to bend his toes a little bit to like let him howl, make him howl, and make him let go, because like I said, we're just playing around, and I split the skin between his pinky toe and his the next one.
Who's seen,
I mean,
have you seen what was it, Sick and Twisted, with the guy with like the nail file, where he's like, he digs under, he goes to clean his nail, like he shows his nails, he's and he takes his nail file and he digs under his nail and goes, and bananas his finger.
Yeah.
And that's where he takes, he goes like this, and he takes a piece of paper, and he goes, and he goes, like cuts right there the piece of paper. I'm
that's
like,
just
oh,
brutal.
Right in between the fingers.
He hasn't like, done the one that just gets me.
He hammers his teeth in?
No, he hasn't done this one, but if he did it, it would just really get me. He's grating cheese or something. Just keeps on
all
going.
All the skin on the...
Oh, that would just drive me crazy.
Are these
crazy,
special effects
one.
Or for
no, just
cartoon.
Animation. Just cartoon.
Oh,
it's called Lloyd's Lunchbox.
Yeah,
okay, I haven't seen
beautiful.
It.
Oh,
it's
so awesome.
So
the guy's
brutal.
So ugly, too.
My favorite would have to be where he lifts up his tongue and that little connecting thing below there reaches in and they slowly
cuts it.
With a pair of
snizzers. scissors it off.
The Canada Games Pool.
Oh.
Basically, the first time I ever jumped off the 10-meter board, I basically went in feet first, and I'm looking at the water as I go in. Now, if you think about that, that should be very obvious to anyone why this will end up hurting.
Don't do it.
Ever get smacked in the face with one of those wakeboards?
Yeah. As I hit the water, I felt my lip kind of go, and I tore the little thing that connects between your lip and...
I'm sure it has a name, but...
Yeah, whatever it is. That hurt, and it basically, it's still, it's like shorter than it used to be.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't grow back. No. Like something that wouldn't grow back.
Whitecliff Park? Uh-huh. Some fucking idiot tells me as, like, not idiot. anyway, some guy tells me, when you're jumping off the cliffs, to slow your descent as you're, like, plunging from, like, 100 feet down into the water, as you're plunging forward into the water, not to go, like, down three levels and, like, completely pop your ears and explode and get, like, the bends as you come back up.
Yeah.
Is to spread your arms and legs as you start to hit the water. Like, as you feel you hit the water, go, wah! And be like the water parachute.
Okay, once you're in.
Once you're in. Once you're in. No, don't try and belly flop. No, that'd be a bad thing. Belly flop from 100 feet? Yeah. Sploosh! Oh, look, your stomach just opened. Look, those are your intestines floating.
That's what happened to a kid at the Canada Games Pool. We basically were leaving to go.
That's the big story.
The day I did that, the kid basically hit on his back and split the skin along his back.
Wow. Yeah. I did two things. First jump, I was fine.
You okay?
But I didn't have shoes. So I hit the water with my feet flat, which felt like somebody taking fly swatter 1,000 times and smacking the bottom of my feet until they were so sore I couldn't walk. So I stayed in the water, and they got really, really nice, good, fast, everything. I was okay in like a couple of minutes. I sort of treaded water for a while. I was okay. The next time I was like, okay, I'm putting my shoes on. I don't care if they're going to be wet all day long. I don't care. I'm just putting my shoes on. Wow. Put my shoes on, jumped, and I needle dived.
Yeah.
And I was like, woo! And I jumped in, and my friend Mo was watching me. And down I go, and sploosh, I hit the water. And he says it was the weirdest thing. He says it was like a mirror image, like a flip-flop camera, like above the water, under the water. Except it was all of a sudden I jump in, and I actually came, because my body curved when I was under the water, and I jumped back out of the water. Back in the water.
Really?
Woo! Splash!
Of course, his body basically would I catch curved. He literally would basically...
Hey, kids, it's Inky.
Yeah.
Hey, Inky.
Hey,
buddy.
Inky.
And he's drinking the anti-cola.
The evil cola.
Oh, yeah. The next pitiful time is I was like, all right, that was really cool. Everyone's laughing and joking around. And then the guy tells me, hey, if you don't want to do that again, like you don't want to go under, or you're not going to needle dive, you're just going to dive in. You're going to go down pretty far.
Yeah.
So when you're under, spread your arms out and try and spread your legs, and you'll slow really, really quickly.
Right.
I'm like, okay, cool. So off I go, and I jump, and like 3 seconds of free fall. 1,002.
Yep.
You start to think about holding your breath, because don't hold it from while you're up there, because you'll lose it by the time you get down there, and you'll pop.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So I jump, and I spread my arms as soon as I feel my feet hit my water.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's like, and people up top heard the smack. Like,
oh.
Crack! And I was like,
Those can feel right off.
Yeah. You know in Return of Khan, when Kirk is in the ship, and he knows he's killed his son, and he goes, Khan! And you see from, like, outside the ship, and you see out front on the planet, you can hear his chain go, shit, right? And I just kind of float on top of the water. Just kind of my arms moving ever so slightly
just
in the cool, nice ocean water. Good Christ. I can't move.
Oh.
My arms are red from, like, down here to my fingertips.
You're very lucky you have slowed yourself with your feet hitting the water a little bit, because, like I said, I saw that kid, basically, his back. It had split his back open.
Somebody said you could see the bone.
You heard about this?
Yeah, it's from somebody else. Yeah. Well, it's a big story, right?
Yeah.
I was
there
open.
That day. Basically, we were like just leaving when it happened.
Wow. So you saw the aftermath.
Yeah, I heard. Well, I heard the splash, and basically, I see lifeguards go running, and me and Travis are both volunteer firemen at this time.
Sea
actually,
of red.
The water was red. Whoa. The water was red.
Nasty. I've only once been called out, of the water when I was in Pasco, Washington, and somebody actually drowned in the pool.
and there was a floating person, like face down, no more bubbles, just kind of face down.
Did somebody get the net?
And they got the full tweet, and everyone kind of whoosh.
Yeah.
Floating person in the middle of the pool.
Whoa.
And we're like, he doesn't look so good. So then splash, 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 and they, out comes Baywatch, and it's all, right? And the way they go, they grab him and put him on the thing, and there's like just water spewing out of his mouth.
Whoa.
And they were like, and that's when we left.
The end result? Oh, okay.
I was like 9.
Okay, so you're like, whatever.
Yucky, gross beer. I'm going to go play with my fucking G.I. Joe.
Yeah, the only drowning victim I ever had to deal with was somebody flipped upside down in a car in a ditch.
Oh,
we basically we never got a resuscitation. He basically went to hospital and was basically they got the body breathing, but there was like a lot of brain death. So he transferred to Royal Columbia, and I never heard the story if he survived or not.
Not much.
Vegetable.
He was in the water for more than 30 minutes.
Oh no!
But kids
have been underwater for 2 hours and still come back.
Yeah,
underwater 2 hours.
Dead for 2 hours.
Dead
for 2 hours. Actually, there was a kid.
It was like 5 minutes or something.
There was a kid in Ontario.
6 hours,
who basically
did
6 hours.
6 hours. Underwater, submerged, never came up.
Is it because they're underwater?
No, their body shuts down to a... Yeah, it's because their body shuts... And it was also very cold.
Yeah,
like
that was... The 6 hours
water.
Was ice, right. But basically, you can have, even in room temperature water, you can still basically get longer...
I watched The Unexplained, and then some guy up north, same thing, his sled went through the ice... His friend swam to shore. He was the only thing he hit the water. He said his body cramped. He said the only thing he saw was his sled front pop up. He grabbed the sled front and held onto it. From there, he was so cold at points. His head was just down, and the sled was moving up and down and stuff. He couldn't raise his head. He was in the water for 7 hours. It's like minus 20 out there, and I don't know what the water's at. And he survived.
There was,
that's amazing.
There was,
his friend walked 7 miles after being in the frozen water, being outside the frozen water, running around trying to find something to help grab his friend, and then walking 7 miles back to the camp and collapsing. At the end of it, he was so tired, and he had fallen so many times, he said the next time he was going to fall, that was going to be it. So
he was
walking backwards. Because the wind was so strong at him, he was walking backwards. The wind was helping him.
Probably just
and he was
stumbling
walking
backwards.
Back on his heels. Just kind of walking backwards. Like, wow, am I cold?
Yeah, that's cold.
Like, I've been cold. When I was a kid, I used to go to the water park, and there was, like, city water running, geysers open.
Yeah.
I'd play in it all day long. It could be, like, 30 degrees out, and that water is still coming out, like shards are forming on your leg at the time, right?
Yeah.
I'd run around in sweatpants and a T-shirt with, a juice jug.
Yeah.
And I would be like, I could easily take the entire island anytime I wanted because I was master of the park. Anyway, I could also take more water in the face than most kids because I'd get into a water fight where all you're taking is the bucket, just going scoop, 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 scoop. And kids would be drowning, and I'd just keep scooping, right? And kids would just be like, aah! And then we'd walk up like this to the hose, like a direct fire hose in the face, like a fire nozzle, swoosh in the face, and they're just hitting you, and you're just like, just grab the nozzle, turn it, and just start forward. You force the nozzle back like this, so it's like a big fan spray, so you're actually hitting them with their own nozzle.
Yeah.
And then you spin the gun around and start hitting them, and then you just take the island up. It's awesome. But now they shut the island. They pretty much shut the whole place down. It's like, they may as well put a big sign that says, no fun here.
Yes.
Don't play in the water. You'll get wet. It's like, what? They don't have squirt guns anymore. You're not allowed any kind of instruments.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what, you're just going to kick water each other?
I heard because...
You'll fall down.
Yeah, you might fall down.
It's
all concrete.
I heard some school system... Now, I can understand in school, like, you know, the way it is normally, to basically outlaw, like, water pistols, because you don't want that happening during school.
And especially the water pistols nowadays. Like, I remember the water pistols when I was a kid, where it was like,
squirt, 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 squirt.
These days
spit more water out of a fucking straw. Now it's these days where you got Super Soaker, where you're doing a Snapple a second, so I can blow your fucking eyes out. XPS Super
but
Blower,
they
5,000
apparently, like, have water outlawed them from, like, their playgrounds during the summer.
Oh, really?
Because they can have liability.
Yeah, it's like...
Stupid life.
Well, there was that, and also there was an incident a couple years ago where kids were pouring bleach into their Super Soakers to use as gang fights.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, they should have just been using turpentine.
Yeah.
It burns more.
But it would melt the plastic.
That can get lights.
Yeah, you can also do gasoline, but your nozzles get fucked up like now.
Yeah.
You can do gasoline like originally.
Wow.
Why bother?
Yeah.
You're going to get 90% of it all over yourself because you're going to leaking gaskets and shit.
Budget!
Yeah, Johnny, go!
And the gun goes.
Oh, you're hardcore, man. Rage against the machine. Those monks got nothing on you, man.
Little orange robes,
yeah.
Going up.
I know one guy, when the Super Soakers were just coming out, my neighbor, his dad walks out, he goes, "Hey, look at this." Walks up to the barbecue, says, "Oh, stand back." I'm like, "What the hell?" And he opens up, he had filled it with gasoline. And you just see this ball of flame going up. He's like, "Look at that." I'm like, "Oh, my goodness."
I spent more money on G.I. Joes, and when Super Soakers came out, as cool as I thought they were, I wasn't about to spend my G.I. Joe money on some fucking squirt gun. Yeah. Especially when I could go down to Grand Blanc and get a 16-liter bucket of water. Wow, that tops anything. Because I have a faucet in my bathroom which pours more water than the bucket can handle. And if I get two of them, I always have a reload. So somebody comes and goes, "Ha-ha, squirt," and I go, "Ha-ha, sploosh." Even if I miss you, I'm going to get you wet. So
the squirt gun's where you can reload them.
Yeah.
I did.
The tap, you just go.
It's got a quick load system.
Yeah.
Where you can either do, they actually have dual systems now where you can also do the nozzle or you can just do the quick load. But the quick load's reserved to, you have to have it attached to a hose.
Yeah.
And if it's attached to a hose, I can crimp a hose faster than anyone in the world. You're all,
"I'm gonna relax."
No, you're not.
16 liter bucket of water.
I did tell the story about dumping the water balloon of doom, right?
Yes.
The garbage bag?
Yeah, the garbage bag.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yep. And there's a cop down there, a cop car.
There was a cop car.
Yep.
Basically, my friends and me, we just pushed it over and just
would have severely
officers need assistance.
Severely hurt someone if it actually hit.
Oh, we would have killed somebody, but we didn't know. I mean,
that's
it's just
heavy, like.
Well, basically, what is it? 10 pounds? What is it? 1 gallon of water equals 10 pounds.
Well, 1 liter is 1 kilogram.
No, it's more than that. Yeah, that's right. No, 1 liter
is one kilogram.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
And how many liters
in the gallon
it was? No,
in
how many liters that you had? In
well,
the
basically,
bag.
We probably because this, no, this wasn't 60? A garbage bag. This was a those thick,
liters?
Huge plastic
it would
material.
Have to be.
It was this thick plastic.
Oh.
It was this clear thick plastic that was basically, and we managed to put probably no lie, I'm not making this up, probably like about 3 or 4 gallons in this thing. When we basically, we couldn't really, we had trouble like lifting it and rolling it off the side of the roof.
Oh yeah, way more than we do.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I was, like I said, I was a little kid at the time, so in this thing, it was probably about 50 or 60 pounds of water that we dropped from three stories onto the guy's hood, and it just destroyed the car. Splintered the window and basically popped the hood in and just basically broke the engine block.
Whoa.
I don't break the engine block. It probably
well,
it
basically,
mashed the air
mashed the whole thing. I know they had to.
I know
they had to basically tow it out of there.
Yeah.
Oh,
it wouldn't start because you mashed the.
And we hit like. we heard them going
quick.
Over on the roof, you know, type thing, and we were just
filing
like,
off your fingerprints. You wanted to hear the song "Break Stuff."
Yeah.
Okay.
Limp Bizkit "Break Stuff."
Just
for you, Dex.
Actually, this is going out to the chicken, because this is his song.
No, because he's gaming right now.
Bastard.
He's weak.
Weak.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everything is a fuck. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact. And if you wish to last, your life is on contract.
My big CD player is not worth it. It's just it makes it like walking inside of the bag. Because it's like 1,000 years old. It's like back when we first brought out CD players.
Just stocks.
Now back to What the Hell with Sumerian and Bob
and
from Peru.
Two 12-inch subs with like a nice amp, real nice deck, and I think, I don't know what it, well, how much it is.
You can do one
but I can get a 50-inch or a 50-disc jukebox and put like 50
everything.
Discs in and go.
And put a damn good alarm on it.
Nice, no, whatever. I'll put, yeah, 50 I'll put
discs? Yeah, you don't want to lose those.
So what?
They don't cover discs.
They don't cover discs.
Stop losing discs.
How hard is it to burn another 50 discs?
It's time.
Yeah, so what? By the time I get my system, this is all this.
I have
all
a problem with, like, burned discs. Like, my CD player keeps, like,
your CD player is weak.
If it's that old, yeah.
Actually, I got a Shockwave, just like a Shockwave. Like,
oh,
one of those little handheld things.
Turn off the buffer. It can't read it that fast.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because it does read it, but it makes like...
track 10, and once it gets out to the outside of the disc, it can't handle it.
Actually, it's the inside. The first couple of songs always on 9.
Yeah, because all the Shockwave is it's reading at 1.2 times speed, and it can't read it that fast. So you just have to turn that off and then go down.
So what you're trying to say is Shockwaves are thick.
Yeah.
People that make Shockwaves are Luddites.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like I said before, I actually take the word Luddite with pride.
I am a Luddite. That's how I introduced myself.
Technology.
I said, I walked up to the guy who's selling, Sean and I are waiting for Adrian to get off, and we walked into Visions.
Yeah.
What a cool place. Not. Anyway.
Never been
walked
there.
In and went,
oh, wicked sale prices. Twice regular.
Oh, boy.
So I walked in and I said, hi, I'm just looking. I'd like to see how much a car stereo would cost for you guys. Not like I'm ever going to buy it here.
Set it up front.
And another thing, I'm complete and utter Luddite when it comes to that. And he looks at me like, what's a Luddite? I'm like, not going to explain it to you because I already know you are one. He's like, oh, okay, cool, right on. I'm like, so explain, what is all this? And he's like, you took physics, didn't you? And I'm like, let's say I didn't, so you can simplify things. And he's like, well,
he's
going
to explain it to you using physics? Car stereo.
Okay, anyway, so I don't want to explain why my conversation ended abruptly.
Yeah.
When, like, my phone pretended to ring. Hello? Oh, yeah,
it's
I got to go,
vibrate.
Sorry.
It's five. Yeah, vibrate.
Yeah, it's got a stock battery, but honest, it's not vibrate. So anyway, that was my excuse for leaving. He's like, oh, here, I'll write you up a quote. I said, oh, my phone just rang. Sorry, I got to go.
You were polite. I would have just said, you're boring me. Goodbye.
Not as boring, not as quick as the fucking retard that Leo hired over on the island for the fish shop. I call him up, and I just want to talk to Leo. I said, hello, is Leo there? It took him, like, 5 seconds to answer the question.
Oh, I love those people.
Leo? No, he's not here right now. And my answer was, you're too fucking slow. Click, and I hung up. And Leo calls me back, and he goes, did you just call? I was like, yeah. I go, where were you?
Because I was upstairs. I go, who's the fucking Luddite you had fucking answering the phone? He's like, oh, it's Ricardo or something. Some fucking idiot. Thick people, really thick.
Yes,
people.
No, I do agree with you on that.
$7.50 an hour. And they are worth every penny.
Worth millions. Yeah, they're either worth a lot of money or nothing.
I always look at it this way. When given the fact that at least 25% of the general population is terminally stupid, why are we worried about double-digit unemployment?
I don't know.
He's right. I mean, stupid people don't work. There's more jobs for us that can do them.
True. But in life, see, you can be stupid, but if you can negotiate, you can get anything. In life, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate.
Yep.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that.
If you apply for a minimum wage job and do not negotiate anything more, guess what you're going to get?
A minimum wage job.
Imagine that. If I never want to get a minimum wage job, I don't ever have to get one because I'll never accept less than
what you're worth.
15 cash or, I don't know, $25 over the table. Mm-hmm. Ever. Once you've had the plateau, why go lower?
That's right.
Why bother? I know I'm worth more. I'm not being an asshole. I'm not arrogant. I just know what I'm worth.
That's right.
And if someone else is going to say, go for $7 an hour, then... Sure, if I was in an absolute desperate situation, I had to pay rent. Yeah, sure, I might get a $7 an hour job for a day until I realize, what the fuck are you doing? Snap! Wake up! Because I
can make more in the street.
In jobs like that, I think I've had a couple where I was so baffled by the end of the day, the absolute sheer stupidity it took to run this job. I go, you know, when I get... No. I can't even tell you how stupid this job is. One guy I told, I said, you know how boring this job is? In a year from now, when I have enough money to buy your business, I'm going to buy your business and shut it down because it's so stupid. And I left. He's like, what about your paycheck? I go, it's not worth my time. Have it. All $38 or whatever the fuck it is. Have it. It's yours. It's a gift from me.
At this stage, the only reason I can come up with for taking one of those minimum wage nowhere jobs is casing the place because your real profession is that you're a criminal.
No.
No.
Getting a minimum wage job.
Okay, for the discounts.
No. I just talk to one of the Luddites that's working there and get him to buy it for me.
Because obviously that'd be pretty easy to convince.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to convince those people.
Yeah, because they're thick. Like, I had the guy in the palm of my hand when I was talking to this guy at Visions. He thought I was going to buy the system now. Like, he's ready to ring it up.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I possess this power all the time, but, like, I go to a future shop, I buy a game. I bought a game, okay?
Yeah.
Blatantly, on the fucking counter, it says, we do not return open software.
You're like, yeah.
This is caveat emptor. This does not apply to me. Yes, I am aware that I am buying this, and yes, I am aware that if I open this software, I cannot return it here. Cannot has a conjunctive in it. Can and not. So I take those as two part. I can not return it at this time, but later, yes, I probably can, or I will. And at many times I have. I've just gone on.
You go,
this
game
is a fucking
sucks.
Shit game. I might want to burn this, but I'm not going to buy this.
Please return it to
so
the
people
who made
it. Then I buy it. Well, no, I buy it, take it home, install it, and if it takes longer to install than to actually think and play the game and go, wow, this is fucking a shitty game. I can't believe I spent $38 or $50 on this game. I'll quickly put it back in the box, take it back and go, oh, my system doesn't know how to handle this. I can't load it. Can you guys load it in your system? You can. Wow. Well, why don't you guys show me how much it's going to cost to upgrade my computer? And then they get all fucking big cocks on the table showing you all this. They're going to have big dollar signs showing. Well, how about you guys return this for me and then I'll buy a new system? And you're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Because I'll need the money for the new system.
Yeah, because I'll need that $50 for my new computer. Maybe I'll, oh, really? Cool. Here you go. Here's your money back, Mr. Patterson. Really? Thank
I'll
you.
I'll be back tomorrow.
And then I'll come back. Yeah, I'll come back next week and I'll be all over this. You guys want to set that up and put it on a box? I'll be back in like a week. Bye.
Sorry. Now I'll come back in tomorrow and buy another game.
Because there's new people working there because the turnover is so good.
The turnover is so good.
And they're so thick they don't remember you.
Yeah, yeah. I wear a different hat. Hey, you know that guy's brother. He was in here yesterday getting software.
You want to talk about a stupid job? I ended up, before I got into security, I ended up working for the GVRD. And my first
Greater Vancouver Regional District for everyone else.
Basically, I was taking care of the Parks Department.
You're a city worker.
Basically, I was taking care of parks, and I was getting paid like $13 an hour to clean up parks, like to use a shovel.
That's $13 an hour gross.
Starting.
$4 net.
This was also a decade ago when $13 an hour.
Yeah, this was back in 1980. What was it? 85, 86, I think it was I had this job.
So what was the minimum wage then? $3.50?
Yeah, I think it was $3.50 or something like that. I was doing pretty good. I mean, I actually liked the pay and everything. I didn't mind the work working outside.
Hey, Ed
and
Carter.
My first day,
Ed Carter.
As I went to work, they say, "Okay, what I want you to do is take this spray painter and spray these posts," and he's got it set up. He said, "Here's what you do. I'll show you how to do this." And he takes one and he sprays it, and he rolls it over on his side, and he sprays the next side, and he rolls it over on his side, and he sprays the next side, and he rolls it over on his side, and he sprays the last side. And he then basically goes, "Okay, then you put it over here and make sure it doesn't touch the ground," and you get another post and you do the same thing. And there's like a pile of fucking posts. It's like yay high. It's a block of wood like 3 feet high of posts by about like 7 feet that I've got to fucking do.
So it was very mentally challenging.
Yes, and so I basically did like one the way he showed me and went, "Well, you know, these things are long enough." So I take 5 posts, put them down, flip, 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 flip. Basically, 2 hours later, I'm done. I've basically gone into the shed. I've got some turpentine. I've cleaned off the spray gun. And I'm basically putting it away in the box that he had left out because they had just bought it. And he says, "Don't fuck this up because I just bought it. And I don't want to have to go get a new one." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'm putting it away. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm putting the gun away. I figured I'd clean it when I was done." "You can't be done." And he looks over. He sees a huge fucking pile of these painted posts. And he's like,
"You made a deal with Satan."
"How did you?" And I'm like, "I did them 5 at a time." And he's like, "Huh?" You can see the confusion on his face.
Synapses. I worked out once when I was working. I had to dig a ditch. It was like 30 feet by 2 feet by whatever. And there was a whole bunch of kids in the valley.
It was for a pool, right, or something?
No, it was for a big electrical line. And I figured out what I was making hourly was not worth my while to dig this. So I hired 4 kids to do it. And still made money. And I knew that contracting was the way to go.
Why, thank you, Tom Slayer.
I paid each of these kids. I said, "Well, how long?" Because I was getting paid for the day, and I broke it down. What I was making in a day, like $200, I could pay each of these kids $20 and tell them all to, like, correctively dig this hole. I went to the store, got some pop and food.
Gave each of the kids a pop. Yeah, right?
And $20. So it worked out to whatever, $21.50 each, and they dug a better trench than I ever could have, or ever wanted to. I still made like $100. Anyway, so I knew, wow, you know,
here's
contracting's great, because in theory, I'm still contracting, except I'm just subcontracting. I'm still a contractor.
As long as
I'm just
you subcontracting. Get the job done.
It doesn't matter if I do it. They don't care if I did it. They're still going to pat me. They're still going to shake my hand going, "Job well done."
Yep.
And I can thank those kids and tell them to fuck off and go play tag.
Here's my
number. Give them their $20. And
give
me
your numbers
okay.
And I'll call you when we need another ditch dug.
At one point, when I was downtown, we were doing for labor. It was a labor company. And we were. You play music?
You guys play Uncle Fucka yet?
Uncle Fucka.
No.
We. James can't spell. We will not.
Left-handed typing.
Oh, okay.
You're okay with other things.
At one point, I was getting...
Writing.
I was only getting $15 an hour. And I was like, "Oh, $15 an hour." But it was cash. So it was like, $20.
A little bonus.
So, but we were also able to charge out, I don't know, what is it? $2 an hour per guy that we hired.
Is that a new shirt?
At one point, I had 20 guys working for me.
Rant Radio. What is that?
Riders, it says in the back.
RR?
Low Riders.
Oh, looks like RR.
as the silence goes out in the room.
There's some discussion overhead. Okay, $15 an hour.
I was making $15 an hour, plus I had like 20 guys working for me that I would kind of coordinate. Like I'd get all their phone numbers and call them when I had a job up.
Oh yeah.
I never did any work besides calling all these guys and making sure they got to the job site. $2 a guy, 20 guys, plus my $15 an hour. Go to the job site and say, hey,
cool.
You guys got to move all that wood into that dumpster. When you're done, go home. Okay? They'd be like, right. And I go, and you're in charge. Anything fucks up here, I'm blaming you. They'd be like, okay, yeah.
Keep
so
up.
He's the foreman now. And I'd say, here's my pager number. Anything fucks up, page me. Okay? And they'd be like, yeah. And I go downtown and play video games.
You
and I get a page. And they'd be like, okay, we're done. I'm like, thanks, great.
Go home.
Bill I say, bill me. And send me an invoice, and I'll call you guys tomorrow. And I'll call you tonight, and you can call all the rest. At one point, I used to call all of them. Then I got like the foreman who was like in charge
to call everybody.
He was only getting like $10 an hour. I would bill them out at 15, and I started making 5 per guy.
Oh man!
And I was like, because I had to bill out at a certain amount. Like my guys cost like $15 an hour to bill out, and I cost $15 an hour. But I only had to pay them as much as they would accept. And some guys, they'd go, $9 an hour? Awesome! I'm so in!
As long as
I can
like
party on the weekends now.
As,
like,
as long as you kept track,
you were the nightmare boss then.
Shane, if I worked for you, I'd kill you. I'm serious, I would kill you. You know that, right?
But I wasn't an asshole to their face. In theory, I was the biggest prick in the world. But I was the nicest guy.
Catbird, yeah, evil.
You are Catbird,
evil HR director.
Bob is Catbird.
Yep. Say that so.
Without
the cute fuzzy
coat. Exactly.
He doesn't purr when he's happy.
Sometimes.
All depends on the right situation.
We're gonna go to a break now.
Play the intro first.
The intro. Which intro? The
Limp Bizkit.
Oh, which one is that? The intro? One that is called intro?
I think it's the one that's called intro.
Okay, it's 37 seconds. I'll let you get away with that.
It's worth it.
Okay. And then we're going to have a surprise song. And then we're going to come back with... Are you ready for Gross Hospital Stories? Okay, we'll come back with Gross Hospital Stories.
So...
Sorry I'm late, everybody. I lost
the
phone.
Don't
be sorry.
Yeah,
I did, actually.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're a cop looking at licking Uncle Fucker. You're an Uncle Fucker, yes it's true. Nobody fucks Uncle Fucker, you.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're the one that fucks your Uncle Fucker. You don't eat or sleep or mow the lawn. You just fuck your uncle all day long.
What's going on here?
Now back to What the Hell with Marion and Bob from Brew.
Now, once again, it's time.
That's my I lost my, I guess my brake cable snapped when I was going to a bus. And I was like, no way.
Jerk,
I stuck my foot in the front of the tire to stop me, and I like endo stopped. With my tire going, I burned like a big black wedge down the middle of my Nike Air. I'm like,
That fell over, right? The people at the bus stop all clap. fuck you. And I couldn't even ride my bike in.
Jericho asks if he can... If
you can get on your good side by rubbing your tummy.
Can... What's that?
Can you get on his good side by rubbing his tummy?
Your tummy.
No, but he'll pretend.
That's a catbird joke.
Maybe.
Anyway, it's time for Gross Hospital Stories.
Yes. With okay. For those of you not paying attention the last God knows how many episodes, I spent 5 years. Working at a hospital. And during that time, I saw all sorts of gross and disgusting things. This week, I'm going to tell you about what happens when you're playing with a propane tank.
Ooh. Whoa.
Oh, yes, yes. Apparently, these two morons are trying to hook up a propane tank onto their barbecue, and they had, like, this old hose or cable or whatever the hell it was, and it was just leaking gas everywhere. And now, one of them said to the officer, get this, well, it had caught fire once, but we put it out, used some duct tape, and thought that would hold. So they relight it, catches fire.
Darwin, winners.
We should maybe replace our hose, eh, Inky?
Ours isn't leaking or anything. It's just kind of kinked.
Afraid.
And melted.
Yeah.
Well, this one basically blew up. And we get the two guys in. Now, one guy we did not get. He transferred immediately to Royal Columbian because he lost his leg.
Oh.
Whoa.
Just blown right off of him.
Take the whole side of this building as you guys
come. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. The other guy, basically, we got in because he was bleeding. He had what looked like, besides third-degree burns and one major laceration in his upper arm, we also had what's called a green break or a compound fracture. That's where bone protrudes through the leg.
Yum.
So we basically... So we get in a portable X-ray machine, and we like basically take a look to see how they're going to have to take this guy up into surgery to put his leg back together. And they're looking at it, and it comes back, and they're like looking at his leg, and it's going, his leg's fine. And they're like, what? His leg's fine. Well, it can't be. This is a green break. And so they basically think, well, you fucking x-rayed the wrong leg, you stupid idiot. And they got the right one. And so they go back. They bring the portable x-ray machine back. They x-ray the guy's leg again, standing there going, see, it's the right friggin' leg. They x-ray it again. They come back. They're looking at it. And I'm watching all these people standing there with this scratching their fucking heads. Finally, this one doctor goes, oh, I know what happened. And he went, what? He goes, that's not his bone. Plip. The bone belonged to his friend who lost his leg.
Oh.
Oh, man. Blew the other guy's leg apart, blew a fragment of bone right into his leg.
Oh.
Yep, his friend turned into a piece of shrapnel.
It's so brutal.
I'd be so mad at my
friend. Oh, no, the other guy basically, I mean, both of them survived, just one guy lost a leg.
Did
all.
This not show up on the x-ray, like the other bone?
Yeah, well, no, basically the way it was, it just barely was in there. It basically was only in about an inch. And I don't know if you've ever looked at x-rays. I mean, you can see that. But it all depends on what angle they're looking for. Now, the angle that they got with the portable didn't give a good shot right away because they immediately wanted to see how badly...
Yeah, the real bone.
Yeah, because if it's really badly and there's a huge space of bone pulverized or smashed, they can't replace the bone. Maybe they can if they use, titanium now to replace it.
Yeah.
And they actually are able to use coral now to replace sections of bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coral's but they'll use it for hip replacements.
Yeah. But back, we're talking early 90s, if you missed that large a section of bone, most times if, like, some of the vascular and nervous system is also damaged, they're just going to amputate the leg.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
But this was not necessary. They just needed to give this guy a huge amount of antibiotics because apparently bone marrow is the most infectious, one of the most infectious substances you can basically give another human being.
Really?
Yes.
And it's in our bodies.
It's in our bodies. Well, it's our bone marrow. Yeah, it's because
I guess that's why bone marrow transplants are so fucking nasty.
Well, they have to give you. They have to. Yeah, they're very painful. They have to give you.
Extracting my bodily essence.
Scratching out the inside of a bone.
They have to. They have to give you a series of drugs that literally basically take your immune system and go, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we're going to do something for a little while. Just ignore us.
I like the
go down to Mexico. Dark, we'll give you a call. Just
Dark Man, where they snipped. His penile sense.
Yeah.
If I ever found out I was going to have terminal cancer, snip. That'd be a fun. Chain your leg. Look at your leg.
You're growing a limb on
it. I can still run.
It's a little floppy, but it's
you
okay.
You smell bad. Well, you know how many perfumes and fucking shit is on the market right now? My mouth could be rotting, and I could put some nice fucking deodorant shit in my mouth.
So could you still walk around and feel, but just not feel pain?
They use maggots. I don't find maggots pain disgusting. All they do is eat dead flesh.
Yeah.
They don't eat you if you're alive. They go, nah, nah. Like, you're like dead, you're still living.
I think my favorite line I've
are we
heard,
actually online or is it oh
yeah,
my favorite line involving maggots was something so disgusting it would gag a maggot.
You already told this story. Yeah. I don't need to hear it.
No, I'm not.
It's a different one.
No, I wasn't telling the story. That was just the line. My favorite line is something so disgusting it will gag a maggot. First time I heard that, I must have laughed for like 5 minutes just on that line.
Oh, we're going to do some news now.
News.
News of the week. Oh, okay. They're up on the board there.
We can introduce who's here.
Oh, we can.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't done that yet.
We'll do that. I'll do the camera at the end, because I'm not going to search halfway through the tape to find.
Yeah.
So, it's me, Sumerian, as usual. Never missed a show for 6 months.
Semi-permanent guest host for a very long time. Bob
from
Peru.
Dak.
Bye. You'll have to wave again at the end. So
okay, I will.
Save your wave.
I'll save my wave.
Save the wave, baby.
What?
That's good enough.
Say hello. Say hello, projectile man.
Hello.
Thank you. I knew Kung Fu. We saw that today.
Me and him are going to go see it, I think, tomorrow.
Him and
it rocks. How many times have you seen it?
I've only seen it once. I want to go see it again.
Great the second
and this
time,
is
too.
Black Wolf saying, I want to see Matrix again.
Go see
again
it again.
And again and again. I've only seen it twice. So.
Do you know they're going to have a prequel?
Yeah. Prequel and a sequel.
They're supposed to have a sequel and a prequel.
And I want to see the sequel.
Sounds like it's going to meld into like a sequel,
Greetings.
Not a prequel.
That was
I'd like to see a sequel because I'd like to see him so badass he can fly in that world.
As long as they don't turn into like a superhero kind of thing. And
well, it can. I mean, it was a superhero kind of thing in the comic book. I mean, or I should say in the movie already. I mean, it was very comic book-esque.
Yeah, it was. But they didn't treat it cheesy, which was...
Well, you see, that's it. Me and him have discussed this before. Like, there's a lot of good stories in comic books, especially science fiction stories.
The Crow.
Yeah. But the thing is...
The Crow's fucking dirty and nasty and gross, though.
But
the Crow does evil fucking things. The movie was nothing. Was a pale in comparison.
Yeah, I know. But
I read the Crow comic for a long time, and then I saw the movie and went, no.
But how often do they basically approach the idea of like a comic book genre from the idea of basically literature instead of basically they think that it's like, oh, it's a comic book. It's a superhero.
Well, X-Men's going to prove it.
That's because every movie that Hollywood, big budget movie that Hollywood makes is targeted at retarded 12-year-olds.
No, it's retarded Americans, but besides that.
Yes, no, I mean...
Is the X-Men supposed to be, like, really good?
It's supposed to be Jewish, but who cares? Like, look at The Haunting, where they took a good concept, and the house never existed, okay? It was all imaginary. That's like a model.
Yeah.
There's no such house as that. There probably is some close where they've taken pictures and just, like, pasted on a bunch of stuff. But they never even...
By the way, if you want to see a decent version of that story...
Read the book.
See the version from 1963.
Read the book.
Shirley Jackson's The Haunting is a good story. Another story which they, for some reason, have fucked up in the credits and say it's a repeat is The Legend of Hell House, which is another story altogether by Richard Matheson. Mm-hmm. That is 1973. Rent that. find it, buy it. It is one of the top creepy ghost movies ever done.
Hell House?
The Legend of Hell House.
It's not really that scary.
It's not, but it's just...
But it's probably the most intelligent haunted house story I've seen.
I can't remember the last time I was frightened when I was watching a movie. Like Sean says, okay, if I think back, maybe The Exorcist, whatever, 1, 2, or 3 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. where the grandmother crawls upside down across the fucking roof and looks like upside down at the guy and stuff, and I kind of went, okay, some hairs in the back of the neck.
Yeah, basically in a couple of scenes in The Blair Witch Project got the hair on the back of my neck to stand up, and there was one scene at the end of the movie, which I will not mention for those in the room who have not seen it, which just thinking about it for like the next day basically would actually get the hair to still stand up on the back of my neck. So
I still say we had better 4x4ing videos.
Some of that dash shots, those are great.
Some of the dash shots were like
scary,
amazing. I'd give them 2 thumbs up.
You can imagine what's going on outside of the dash shot.
For James and I's dash shots, I'd be like all over. Yeah, like I said, I will explain again. I will give both of you.
Let me do it.
That's okay. At least
I'll give both of you twice the admission not to go see this movie.
Blair Witch.
Twice the admission.
Well, I just downloaded it off the internet, so I'm gonna watch it for free anyways.
Okay. But, like, I'll pay you to delete it.
You hate it that much.
That much. Wow. I'll go make a show, and I'll call it The Blair Witch, and you can watch that, and then you can watch... Actually, what I'll do is I'll muddle them up, and, like, we'll do a 50-50, we'll flip a coin, you'll watch one of them, and I'll tell you if it was mine or not.
And you don't think I'll be able to tell?
No.
Yeah, I've watched...
Shane's going to run through the woods with a handy cam.
There's a chick screaming, oh shit, and there's like a shirt, it looks like somebody stuffed some wood into it.
Okay, like that was the best part of the movie.
Oh, God.
About, no, I can't pick the best part because I hated it so much.
Shane?
Do you ever see the horrible, evil people? That
no, you don't. That's what's so fucking
like,
great about
the best part of the
movie
is like,
should be.
Yes.
There was like, they ripped our idea off, okay? There was a knife cam with the movie. Like, that was about it. That's about as bad as it got. I admire them for having no gruesome, terrible things happening on film. It didn't cost $1 trillion to make. It had 3 people.
They made their money back the opening night.
Yeah,
they
made their
they
money
did
back
more.
In one theater,
the movie
one
cost.
Theater in California, one opening night, they made $125,000. One
That's
night.
What it cost the film?
Cost $25,000
to
film.
It cost $25,000 to film. It cost them basically $12 million. New Line Cinema has basically jumped $12 million into promotion for this film. They made that back the first night that the film in the advance
like
previews.
Like North America wide.
In North America wide in the advance previews.
Just
like the advanced previews. Like, you know how some they'll show it on a Wednesday night before?
Give me 16 mil. You can take the handy cam. Let's go make some.
The thing I loved, I was watching an interview on CNN.
I'll be the director. He'll give us some like, really fucked up ideas. And we'll get like a bunch of fucking surgery people and pay them like $20 a day.
We should get Sean to write a story.
No, Sean.
Livingston said this. He said, this is what Sean could be doing.
No, Sean's going to make a movie, but it's kind of secret. It's going to kick ass.
Yeah, what's it about?
I don't want to say until it's done. It's really good. And Sean can pull it off.
Sean, actually, yes. The last time I was actually physically frightened was in one of Sean's Cthulhu games.
Yeah? Because he describes it so well.
Yeah. I was stalking an old woman and talked to her for like 40 minutes in this flower shop and then went across the street and got in my car and was standing at the door talking on the cell phone and she got ripped in half by a 50. And I saw the barrel pull in above me and I saw her on the ground and looked at the barrel and looked at the ground and... And then she got up on her hands with a ripped in half torso and kind of snarled like a fucking wild dog and ran at about 40 across the street and up a drain pipe into a window, smashing her upper torso through the window. And I was like, I don't need to roll sand. I can tell you, I just lost it.
I actually got to creep Ryan out in my game, and that's like as a referee in any game, if you manage to freak your players out. That is like the ultimate compliment.
I scared the shit out of 3 guys I was gaming with. There can be another, well, whatever. They weren't like the most effervescent gamers I've ever been with, but whatever. They were cool. But I just attacked them with a bunch of spiders, and I was very articulated when I was explaining how I was attacking them with spiders, and they didn't want to play anymore. I said, no, we're not playing anymore. One of the guys was arachnophobic, I found out later. I didn't know this at the time.
Jericho says X-Men movie is being directed by the same guy who did The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Wait, awesome. What? Huh? Yeah. What?
Wow.
That's a real director. Actually, I heard, did you hear that Cameron is doing the Spider-Man movie? And he is basically...
They haven't found an actor yet.
No, they haven't found an actor yet, but...
Yeah. We're going to do a movie, but we don't have any actors. Yeah.
They have all these different scripts they kept coming up with and all these great ideas for what superstar was going to play the villain, and apparently Cameron just went, fuck off, my script. And basically he went... and anyone who bitched at him in the studio or whatever, he just went, Titanic. And they, like, they cowered away.
So he's going to sink $200 million of his own money to build, like, the news station, the
Cameron,
newspaper
we just
station
got a thing,
that he works
we just got
in.
A thing from Jericho. Cameron's no longer doing Spider-Man.
He's like, dropped out of it?
That's
kind
that's
of
old
news.
I hadn't heard about that at all.
Well, Dak's not on the internet, so.
Yeah, that's true. He's
otherwise, he would know everything about everything. Yeah. And he also says, ever seen The Miracle Mile?
The Miracle Mile.
I've never seen that. Has anybody here seen The Miracle Mile?
It sounds familiar.
No,
I've heard of it, have not seen it.
What is it about, Jericho?
Let's take a look.
Internet Movie Database, www.imdb.com. It's very, very wonderful. Now we're going to type in The Miracle Mile, see who's in it.
What is it about?
I suggest you get a piece of
that
or
it's a monster.
I know what it is. I'm just wondering why the hell it's there. Did you transfer that from a compact or something?
It's from that. I don't know what that is. It's a curvy box.
It's an Acer.
It's beautiful.
It's
see the floppy drive.
Floppy.
I really like the ones with like the perforated holes in the side.
Isn't that great? The floppy has
looks like a downrange with a BB gun.
Yeah.
Bing, 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 bing.
Okay, 7.7 out of 10. Wow, that's pretty great, actually. Miracle Movie. I can tell you nothing about The Miracle Mile, except that there is a love story set against a tragic background. That is a beautiful piece of filmmaking showing the best work of several involved. This movie was destroyed by its own practical nature, which renders it unpromotable, but it exists somewhere. Find it.
What's it about?
Anthony Edwards, Mayor Winningham, John Agar, nobody you've ever heard.
Hancock.
Plot summary. A young man meets and falls in love with a young woman in the La Brea Tar Pits in Los Angeles.
I think maybe I have seen it.
Area is known as the Miracle Mile.
That we're about to see nuclear war. Yes, I have seen it.
Is it good?
Yes, it is very good.
Ah, one to jot down to rent.
Do you need a napkin?
What?
Do you need a napkin?
No.
Okay. No.
There's things being thrown at Bob.
Okay, they're
Smarties falling from the
screws. So we're going to do the news now.
John made me play that intro 3 times in a row when I was at Dax or at Drex's.
Oh, really? Why? For who?
He's like, that's the best promo we've ever made. I'm like,
I actually
you
really
did it.
It's really, I really, really, it's really I good. Still like it. I like with
I
my
still like
again.
The Jesus Christ is still like the best ever.
Get back on that cross.
Hey, James, do you have like a CD burned of like a bunch of the or
I sent it to Drex.
Do you have a tape maybe? Because I saw somebody had a tape in their car. The
Drex.
Drex had.
Yep. So it might be in the Jeep.
Too bad. I actually want to board because do you remember Splurgoth who was here last week?
Yes.
I was telling them about the things and he's like, well, you guys have all like the burners. Why don't you like burn them? And I'm like, I'll ask.
It's on
you
tape.
You have to put a gun to James's head to get him to burn anything. And he doesn't have to burn it. It's Derek that has the burner.
You have to,
and
I have to put the
Kennedy's
gun to
never,
Derek's head.
Kennedy's
so you
never
see
home.
How hard this concept is.
That's why I'm just going to buy my own, and I can burn my own stuff, and then somebody can try and put a gun to my head. So.
The federal net tax, and this is actually serious.
Suck my
this
ass.
This is really bad.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Not for us, but I'm sure they'll follow suit as Canadians often.
They're going to basically charge a tax for the net.
I'd like to see them try or how they're going to implement it. But, yeah, they're going to try and tax the Internet.
Do you remember I said that one day there would come a bit of news that would convince me it's time to pick up the gun and begin killing people in office?
Yeah, yeah.
This is almost it.
Okay.
The only thing I can see it being a remotely practical idea would be them to be hidden in the cost of your ISP.
That's probably the way they would do it. Have you grown to used to Amazon.com's no sales tax book orders? Are you a fan of the cheap price tags of CDNow.com? Get ready for sticker shock. Anyone who orders merchandise online will have to pay a new 5% federal tax if bill introduced in Congress this week becomes law.
By everyone, Senator Rich Hollings, Democrat from South Carolina, please, if you're within the sound of my voice, kill this man.
And it's got a link. A link to
breathe easy, breathe.
Is this him?
Yeah. Okay.
Senator, he even has his own web page.
Yeah, I've got an idea here, actually.
You have to put the cowboy hat on.
You want to talk?
He doesn't have any fucking hair.
I've got the talking hat on. Now I'd like to point out to all you wonderful people in Cyberland that the internet is driven, unfortunately, by electronic commerce.
Stupid people.
I do hate that term, e-commerce. Anyways, but it is driven by e-commerce. That's why the internet is there, and that's why it's growing so quickly, and that's why it's becoming such a cool, powerful, fast thing. If it weren't for the commerce that's going on it would be lost. If it wasn't for Amazon.com, eBay, thank you. CD Now, all these companies that sell stuff make the internet what it is. So this guy goes and actually promotes this law, and for some reason, which I can't see whatever happened, but if it does get passed, it does destroy the internet, because that extra 5% puts the internet in a position where it's more expensive than time-proven methods like, say, catalog shopping and calling
mail order,
the phone, 1-800 numbers, stuff like that. So fight this guy. Everybody out there, this is a call to arms. Every piece of nasty junk mail you can sign this guy up for, find out his home address. If we can find it on here, yeah. Sign him up so he can't receive any mail. Let's destroy him before he's got a chance
like
to destroy us.
Like, if you can basically, if you have a good enough system that you can, like, falsify some pictures of him fucking dead baby seals or something, please do so.
There's one ray of hope.
That's a good idea. I think I'll do that right after the show.
Senator Hollings is a Democrat, and they are the minority party in the U.S. House of Representatives at the moment. So
that's good.
They have to convince the Republican majority to go along with this. Of course, it's money for their trough, so twisting arms may not be that far a stretch.
I like the last line in here.
I never thought I would actually care that the Republicans were basically, or want the Republicans to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hell is frozen over. I'm in a lower plane someplace. That's the only answer I have.
And the last line says, and how much cash will the measure raise? We have no friggin' clue. Hollings aides admit.
Have a comment on this article. Could you give me a few hours to write the word die several thousand times?
And oh, yeah.
I know a DOS command.
Big fucker. Hey, Andy, why did you call me a big fucker?
Here's another one. Thieves steal Darth Vader's lightsaber.
Yeah. You bastards!
Seaver,
okay, we'll just post that there. Thieves steal Darth Vader's lightsaber. It's coming up.
It's coming up slowly, but surely.
4% of 69 kilobytes.
Wow, aren't you glad we have cable modems?
Yeah, it's so much faster.
Anyway, I'll tell the story. Some thieves broke into the actor who played Darth Vader, not the voice, and they stole a whole bunch of stuff. In the items that they stole the original lightsaber that Darth Vader actually used in the movie.
In the first movie or in the second movie? Because they had different...
One of them.
Wow, is that too much information? I don't need to know that there's...
Do you have any idea how much that is worth on the market?
Just a little bit, huh? Okay. There we go. Darth Vader's lightsaber has been stolen, according to an article in the Megastar, the online edition of British tabloid Daily Star. Although Prowse has said he was sad to lose the lightsaber, he was evidently more upset about the jewelry, which included a bracelet he gave to his wife, Norma, more than 30 years ago. Which is kind of cool. But he's not crying over the lightsaber and over other more sentimental things.
Actually, do you know
things.
Something? I don't really feel that bad now because it was published in the British press, which means that I don't have to believe it.
And they stole his Mercedes.
To put it all in.
Yeah, it's just basically, I seriously.
I think they should have had, like, the romper stomper guys trying to steal it.
That's right.
They completely fuck over his house instead and get away with, like, the shitty car. And
there's nothing
wrecking.
In it.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that movie.
It's pretty good. It's worth watching. It's pretty funny.
Earths reduce the odds. Cool.
Just because the headline is just so funny. Scientists reduce odds of Earth asteroid collision. Well, I was relieved when I saw that.
I don't know. I want to say, think they're working hard on reducing those odds. Let's hope they can reduce them even further so it never happens.
So far, we've reduced them 0.1000001001.
By sitting back and calculating. Wow, that really reduces
well,
the
actually,
odds.
Well, actually, the number of astronauts that could possibly do it as in the Earth-crushing scenarios depicted in the Hollywood blockbuster Armageddon are none. None, because you see, physics would allow things like that not to happen. That movie sucked so bad. As bad as he thought the film Blair Witch Project sucked, Armageddon sucked even more.
I liked it.
You liked it? Nikki?
Ignoring the physics, I guess.
I'm losing some credibility in like of you.
Well, she uses a lot in her 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. So it helps her out a lot.
6 degrees.
Six degrees of Kevin Bacon. You take any actor and you relate them back to Kevin Bacon within 6 movies.
She's unstoppable.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie quite a bit.
Hey, we can't be too critical. I enjoyed Army of Darkness. And that wasn't really
so what's...
Well, I know. Okay, I'll give one. Errol Flynn.
Errol Flynn?
Yep.
Errol Flynn.
Wow.
Yeah, the original Robin Hood, Captain Blood.
There's probably some limits here within reason of age. Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin might be at some point too.
I think you have to keep it within the range of movies that he's been alive in. 70s to 90s.
Ask me who anyone else is, I probably don't know.
Says the bad news is there's a 1 in 3 chance for an impact that will cause local damage in the next 100 years.
What do you mean by local damage?
Like another city, basically.
Big city.
Well, Surrey's gone. Oh, well.
Oh, darn.
And the tidal wave that's going to ensue will definitely take out everything up to Abbotsford. That's not a tidal wave of water. It's a tidal wave of land coming at us.
Here's another one related to it. Gold rush in space.
Come again.
Come again. Yeah, I know.
The Earth is so close to the moon, and it's solid gold.
Gold rush in space. The most detailed study of an asteroid shows that it contains precious metals worth at least $20 billion. That's a little bit of money.
Hello.
The data.
Just say 20 trillion?
I don't know. The data was collected last December by the Near Earth Asteroid Rendezvous. Near.
Do you think they brought back any samples?
Gross. That is close.
It provided an unprecedented look at one of the mountains of rock that flies around the solar system. The first conclusions from the encounter are now published in the journal Science. Blah, blah, blah. How much?
Blah, blah,
if Eros
blah,
is
blah.
Typical stony meteorites, then it contains about 3% metal, which known abundances of metal in meteorites, even with very cautious estimates, suggests 20,000 million tons of aluminum, along with similar amounts of gold, platinum, and other rare metals. And 2,900 cubic kilometers of Eros. There's more aluminum, gold, silver, zinc, and other base and precious metals than had ever been excavated in the history, or indeed could ever be excavated from one of the upper layers of the Earth's crust.
Kiss my ass.
If that's true, I think we'll be seeing a lot more rockets in the near future and trips into outer space.
Well, actually, I follow a little bit about... Gee, I hope one hits Earth. Yeah.
This time I will not put on the silly hat. I've been actually watching the private space industry grow over the last year or so, and it's pretty amazing some of the ideas people have thought up. A lot of them are a high-altitude launch.
Yeah, with the balloons.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones.
It's the best.
I've got the name written down in my computer.
I still think Russians have it by going around the Earth and then going up.
The Russians, unfortunately, are pretty much out of the picture. Because
yeah,
their ideas, like, were cutting edge when they first started, like, mm-hmm. and they still are kind of cutting edge. Their ideas are, their practicality and use, no. But their ideas of, instead of, let's see, can we force our way, what's easier, pulling yourself away from the bully or running in circles until he falls down? It's like, I think I'd run in circles until he falls down. Anyway.
Good analogy.
Bad analogy. Anyway.
The one that they're, or my favorite one at this point, is actually using balloons. Big, fat-ass weather balloons.
With, like, big holes in the middle?
I think they do several balloons set up in, like, a diamond shape.
The one I saw was a big hole in the middle. The balloon actually ends up completely fucked up because the rocket goes, they go up to, like,
right
the stratosphere, and then it goes, whack, with, like, a 3,000 million times less fuel. It's all just...
it's way less fuel. Yeah, they're not fighting air resistance anymore for the first, you know. Well, actually, it's 100,000 feet launch height. The balloons are amazing. Amazing. And then they just have this dinky little rocket, and they're also looking at using microsatellites for a lot of the stuff because you can get things so small now. Like, the traditional satellites, this huge, disgusting piece of metal. I mean, they're still amazing. They're really, there's a lot of micromanager stuff, but now they're looking at really small launch vehicles and really small satellites to go along with. Another one that was really cool that I saw is actually a rocket-propelled helicopter, believe it or not. The thing's got rocket engines at the blade tips of the helicopter. That goes off, and the thing goes straight up at, like, insane speed. It goes hypersonic at the blade tips. And it's more efficient than a regular rocket engine. Like, way more efficient. Well, actually, that's part of the plan. After it reaches a certain altitude, it detaches the helicopter blades, I think, and goes straight up like a rocket.
Awesome.
And, yeah, it's really cool looking.
Whirly birds on speed.
Oh, it's crazy looking. I saw the computer simulation. I went,
did you read what the difference in fuel it made that launch they did down on the platform in the middle of the equator?
No,
they saved something like 15% of the fuel from just basically the standard launch where the Russians normally launch.
Wow.
Because they launched at the border instead of north of it?
Well, no, basically the Russians normally, where they launch, their altitude is so high, you have such a fight with gravity. But because they launch on the equator with the sea platform, literally the centrifugal force of the Earth helps literally throw the rocket out into space.
Yeah. Instead of fighting it, they actually rip around. They fire off at like whatever so much of a degree of an angle, and then they go.
Also, basically, the equator, the entire equator is basically a launch window because just the way it works. Mm-hmm. It really is a lot more efficient.
Spears are so cool.
What? What did you say? What'd you say?
I said spears are so cool. Oh. They're cool. They're round.
Anyways, the point is there's this big prize. I can't remember exactly what the amount is. It's not that much. It's like $750,000.
It's $20,000 for the one Darcy Narrow.
Okay. No, there's a big one. It's like the first man in space by a private space agency, I think it is.
Oh, this the one we were looking at was like it had to be 2 cubic meters or something, or 2 cubic feet, or I don't know.
Oh, that's the balloon. That's
the balloon. That was the balloon launch. That was the stratospheric balloon launch or something. Yeah.
But the big one is, I think it's $750,000, the first person put in space commercially. So it's a dinky little prize, but man, that would be pretty cool. Just
I was
pull
in
off.
Space.
Yeah.
By myself.
On my plane.
Yeah. On my plane.
90.
And I fingered all the astronauts.
What was it? There's a private company that's going to do. There's two companies that are working on a private launch system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one is the one that actually looks a little bit like the shuttle, and it barely actually even doesn't even really reach the 100 mile area, which is like 52,800 feet is actually what you 528,000 feet is what you technically need to go into space. The company that's promoting themselves as doing a space launch, which is this large vehicle, for $98,000, you get to go down, spend a week training with these people. Then they take you up there. It's a five-hour launch and landing, and you get 2 minutes of zero G.
2 minutes is not enough for me for that price.
Nope.
Basically,
Bill Gates.
I told you about that guy. I'm sorry. Keep going.
There's another company which is using a reusable rocket. Now, do you remember the way Gus Grissom and Alan Shepard went into space, which was they went straight up and straight back down. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do. You get 15 minutes of space time. However, the thing that I couldn't believe is this rocket comes back down, and it's supposed to land in the water. And, I mean, you'd have to see this thing and see the computer demonstration, and I'm just thinking, sweet Jesus, that just can't be safe.
Uh-uh. Oh, I think I've seen the one you're talking about. It's, there's two pieces to it, and it breaks off the first stage, and it looks like a cigar coming down.
Yeah, I just went, oh, I was like, yeah, please God.
It, to break, it like tosses itself off axis and tumbles.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, that's the one.
Oh, I
that's
was
crazy.
Oh, went, my
nope, next
God.
Next page. This web ring is fucked.
My rich people are stupid. Not only did I bill out at like $65 an hour as an apprentice, for twisting light bulbs, and this guy paid it like happily in cash, but he also had like a heated garage for his Ferrari and his Jaguar and like hot running water and stuff in his garage. Anyway,
no, I do agree with you.
This guy paid
dumb.
This guy paid $15,000 for a flight in a Meg 25, which he recorded on his little digital camera that's like the size of my wallet, and like he went up to like 25 miles above the Earth. And did like Mach 2, and then came back down, and they did a run over the space, and he got to take the stick and roll the plane. Mm-hmm. At which time he put the camera like this at the side of the cockpit, and he's recording all this,
yeah.
And he rolls the plane, and of course on his big screen TV while we're sitting downstairs, he's like, "Hi guys, I got to show you this." And we're like, "Okay, I'll tell you this another story after." Anyway, we watched this and we're like, "Wow, really cool." And he got a helmet which all the pilots signed. And his jumpsuit, which has got the G's and like the tight G legs and all
yeah.
the other shit.
This gives you an idea of just how broke the Russian government is, that they're basically
so, yeah.
using their
yeah.
top of the line MiGs as like, you know, an
these
amusement
were, like,
park
their
ride.
Ace, these were their ace pilots that are now taking these rich businessmen up for like a 2-minute flight.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, I don't know, maybe it's 15 minutes. I don't know how long it takes to get up 25 miles on a MiG. But I know that I can, walk. I know I can walk into the fucking jet. You can walk into the exhaust of this fucking
wow.
plane. They're just fucking huge.
It's getting to the point where a couple months back, actually this is going more than a couple months back, I remember a Russian Navy ship pulled into a port in some European country, and they were so broke, they literally did not have the fuel for the boat to get back home, and they had to, like, almost get together like this, this
Big
collection
sale?
To basically, for the crew to have food beyond just like emergency rations.
Whoa.
The same guy. Okay, the same guy has like
here's
you say a stand like
level.
This.
Yeah.
But it's a stand inside the wall
mm-hmm.
that you push like panels and the panels kind of come out on a weird panel system like they slide. They're not normal doors. You know, they have to like go click click and like slide to the side.
Oh yeah.
His
yeah.
amp was so heavy it broke a 3/4-inch piece of plywood.
What the hell
do you
need? What
the fuck do you need an amp that big for? It's that big. He had
because
that much power.
Best.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was the best.
Okay.
He had more speakers in his fucking room than most people have in their entire house, including Walkmans. Like,
did somebody showed or told me something that basically they're now making amps that use tubes again because apparently the sound is clearer or something like that? Have you heard anything about
quite
that?
Possibly.
Yeah. Tube amps are superior.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what somebody had told me, and I was looking at him like...
It's the overtones they produce.
It's not, they're not actually superior, but they've got a more pleasant sound. The kind of... The harmonic distortion you get out of a transistor amplifier is kind of...
Hummy.
It's grating, somehow. Whereas people describe tube amps as being warm and pleasant. And
CDs versus records.
Well, have you ever, like, turned up a transistor amp until it distorts?
Yeah.
It's like... and then you turn up a tube amp until it distorts, and it's just fuzzy. It's like this nice warm feeling.
It's cozy feeling until the music kicks in, and everything goes, what?
Well, it does, but that's all it does, is it goes, blah. It doesn't go...
What was that Surgeon General...
Oh. Surgeon General issues calls action to prevent suicides. There's nothing really interesting.
Well, that's the next one. It's something I saw like 900 million.
Oh, this is lawyers gone wrong.
Former
counterculture guru
ordered to pay
$907 million in wrongful death suits.
$907 million.
A billion. Call it a friggin' billion.
$1 billion in a wrongful death suit.
He was convicted in absentee.
What does that mean?
Absentina?
Oh.
He wasn't there.
In absentia.
In absentia. Okay. Did I say in absentia?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The family of Helen Holly Muddock Maddox. Maddox.
Convinced the jury that Ira Inhorn, who is fighting extradition from France, should pay for her 1977 death, effectively preventing him from profiting from any book or movie deals about the high-profile case. He had not even sent someone to defend against the civil suit. In deliberations that took just over an hour, the six-member jury awarded the family $752 million in punitive damages and $155 million in compensatory damages. My brain doesn't go that high, said Maddox's sister, Elizabeth Hall. I couldn't have stood up then if you'd pulled me to my feet. Hall said she did not expect to see the money, but that really has never been the point. This is kind of a psychological blow to Ira. I hope it hurts. It just boggles my mind.
I laughed when I was a year past paying it was $400 fine for no license, no registration when I got caught driving downtown by an RCMP officer in a ghost car. And they called me up and said, you owe us $400. And I went, so?
I mean, $900 million would ease the pain of any death.
Yeah, sure.
A family member.
For $900 million, I say we draw straws and kill one of ourselves. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you in?
And we all go, oh, we're damaged. We need money. Give us money.
I'll never see that much money in my entire life.
Even
if you compound interest the entire existence of all the money I've ever seen. I'll never make that much. Even if I do.
I'll never make the $7 million.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll see $7 million across your lifetime.
Yeah.
You'll easily see $7 million. It'll pass through your hands, with or without your knowledge. But whatever.
Well, unless you count the money I deal with at work.
There you go. Yeah. Even more so. Fucking the last 5 years, I never thought I would hold $100,000 and actually hold it, but I have, and it's frightening. I thought I was going to stab people when they came close to me.
What? Hold, cash?
Hold it. Yeah. Holding it.
How much?
Going across a ferry.
How much?
$100,000 cash.
Yeah, that's a fair amount.
What were you carrying that much money for?
Cash money.
Oh, fish.
Fish.
Yeah.
Fishies.
Because you need that kind of money.
For fish.
Actually, I used
fish
to.
Fish cost a lot.
Used to work with a guy. I'm not going to say any names. Let's just say. Let's just call this individual. Well, anyhow, this individual had a connection to a certain group of individuals who ride around on bikes. and we were talking about just like how much we're not making what we really want, and we were talking about things to do, and he used to be a fisherman, and he said that basically if he was ever going to do something, he would hit the purchase boat that comes in to buy the catches.
Yeah.
Big money there.
Well, the one time...
Hard to say, though. All purchase boats sometimes go on credit.
Yeah.
It's called going on the books. You can go on the books for, like... I've seen a guy go on the books for $1 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was his halibut quota for the year.
Yeah.
Interesting.
On the books, and they just cut him a check later. A certified check, or they just cut him cash, or whatever.
Yeah, the one time that basically he was there, it was... he said that it was something like $12 million they had there in cash.
Wow. Yeah, that would be a good place to do it.
Just cash, you know? It's like...
Woo!
And we were talking.
They also
about
have
it.
Guns.
So yes, that's what we worked
I'd
out.
I'd like to see you take the 100,000 off of me. I'm really sorry. When I start thinking, like in my head, I go, oh boy, my job really sucks and I'm not making as much money, and I think about hitting like an armored car or a bank or whatever. And although it's not as personal, it's like your job and... Okay, they give you a .38 and a bulletproof vest.
And by the way, if anyone's interested, I was talking to someone who drives one, and according to them, the armor on these vehicles, the armor they give you and the glass is actually more armored than the doors and the panels and the sidewalls.
My theory has always been, why go through the door when you can easily go through the wall?
Yeah.
The wall's only drywall. And steel stud. And here it's steel stud. Maybe it's wood.
Yeah.
Most likely it's steel stud. I can bend steel stud with these two fingers. Why go through the door?
Yep.
Why? There's 3 inches. There's at least 4 3-inch screws in there.
Yeah.
I can't kick that door open.
So you can
I can kick the wall open.
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
Totally.
It's basically so.
I can go through your. I can come right through your closet.
So move 1 foot to the left.
Yep. And just kick.
Boom.
You're through. 2 feet.
Make sure it's not in the kitchen.
And I know, and I can know by knocking on the wall where your studs are.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
At worst case, I bring a stud finder. Well, there's not a stud there, and there's not a stud there. I take a drywall saw and go, and then I just rip the drywall apart.
Yeah.
And we walk into your building.
Yep. And if I want to get technical, I can put a new piece of drywall right back on. Wear a contractor type uniform. I put my toolbox down and make it look official. Like put a drop cloth down.
Oh yeah.
And go, oh yeah, there's a big fucking electrical leak here or something.
Remember, I mean, you've heard this, you've been hearing this line for like 1,000 years, especially associated with
the
computer.
Yeah, the whole system's leaking
electrons. But basically, actually do this. Just think outside the friggin' box. That's like the answer to any crime, anything you want to do. Just
do it.
Don't think the way they expect you to go.
Kennedy's idea: blow a bridge, get scuba gear, and then open up this fucking thing. Like, take an armored car, blow a bridge, the thing goes down. I'm like, why?
That's too
difficult. Why would... Oh, okay, never mind.
At that point...
It's like saying, Sean, make a basic character.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a basic character. Yeah, okay, I want a blind monk...
Should I tell that story?
With a club foot, and...
He basically wanted... I asked... We're playing Cthulhu.
Yep.
And we wanted... I tell him to make a simple, normal human being. Like somebody you would meet on the street.
Yep.
First of all, he wanted to be a priest. Yep. Okay, that's fine. That's within the realms. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
He wanted the guy to be like this blind sword master. No, it wasn't blind. It wasn't blind, but he wanted this guy.
He was actually a kendo master.
It was a kendo master.
Kendo.
And then he wanted him to carry around a sword cane. And the reason for carrying around the sword cane is he had a club foot. That was his excuse to why this all made sense.
Yeah.
And he wondered why I like said, Sean, get out of my home. You're not playing in my game.
Too complicated. But he's better now.
Yes,
no,
he is.
Not.
Mine
was, okay, we're playing White Wolf, basically, a Die 6 Palladium game. Palladium Universe, Die 6 system. I rolled... out of, like, you know, in the basic RPG book.
Yep.
They're, like, in the back of past all the other character classes. Each character class has its own page.
Yeah.
This is in the back where there's, like, six character classes on one page.
Yeah.
Where you can be, like, a farmhand and stuff.
Yeah, or a squire.
I rolled, like, farmhand, okay? at the end of the night, I'd basically taken over the village. Because it was just rolls. Like, I had, like, a 4 strength and, like, a 3 dex and, like, a 3 intelligence and stuff and, like, bad GMing and really good die rolls. And I had this, like, down
pat. The mayor of the village.
Anyway, that's to say, yeah, I did take a real bad character, but if you're a good enough convincer and you have a bad enough GM and good enough rolls, yeah, you can go pretty much anywhere.
The worst part, Slurgoth, who you might have met last week, don't ever roleplay with this guy. Don't
just
ever
roll or what?
It's an exercise in frustration.
He makes you roll the dice 30 or 40 times a minute.
For everything.
For everything.
Oh, for tying your shoes.
I mean,
I messed up.
Yeah,
tie your shoes. Oh, I did it, Granny.
If you roll the 1 on the 100 dice, you fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, he's the worst case. He is like the opposite of a killer DM. He's a boring DM. A killer DM.
I want to get a pizza. Right, roll.
Exactly.
Roll what? Roll to breathe.
Yeah.
You fucked up, you're dead. You start choking, roll again. Your friends don't notice you roll over and die. And you're not in the recovery position.
Yeah, my suffering is at an end. I'm free. You're free.
I can actually go and order pizza.
Jack prances out of his apartment, only to go onto the balcony and fall over.
No, I didn't make my roll.
Found this really funny webpage. Tips for dating emotional cripples. There's
the musician,
the stoner, the best friend, the goth boy, the hacker, the out of town boyfriend, the raver boy.
Go to the
we'll
hacker.
We'll go to the hacker.
Go to the hacker
because
I read this. It's so awesome.
Tips on dating the hacker boy. Hacker boys are a growing breed of fellows you'll probably end up dating one time or another. They aren't quite as disturbing as the goth boy or the depressed musician, but they do have their annoying moments. we can continue on.
Yes.
Somebody can.
Resist the temptation to ask your hacker boy to perform legal crimes to win your love. Hacking into the phone company to change your phone bill might be romantic at first, but the feds come a-knocking, and you
could be sharing a jail sentence.
Knowing jargon words such as phone freaking and black box, this will come in handy when he calls to cancel your dinner plans because he's just been arrested for changing his grades in the university computer room.
Remind him that going to a 2600 meeting does not count as a date. Beware of the hacker whose secret wish is to become a machine. Sean, this is Sean.
Does this remind him of anyone?
Lots of hackers have this cyborg fantasy in common. They most probably end up doing it to get a tacky tattoo of metal ripping through his arm.
Does this remind him of anyone? Sean.
Yes.
Bones on his arm, not metal.
Yeah, read books by William Gibson, Neil Stephenson, and Philip K. Dick. Many hackers fancy themselves as cyberpunks, that's with an X, and like to discuss topics as memory implants and information smugglers. I've never read Neil Stephenson. Stevenson. Who is he?
It's probably because you keep saying Stephenson.
Really, Brian? I hadn't figured that out.
He's a writer. Really?
Derek might have some of his books.
Yeah.
Repeat to yourself at least once a day that it's perfectly fine that you're a human hacker.
That you're human. Hackers have a way of treating their girlfriends as would-be fembots. Be yourself.
Don't be angry if your hacker boy spends loads of time on his computer instead of with you. He'll do this a lot because that's what hackers do.
Duh.
To hackers, computers and time are relative. Have some used waterproof clothes to go dumpster diving late at night. An old-school hacker will want to spend romantic moonlit nights snooping around dumpsters behind computer companies and universities.
Encourage your hacker boy to get a second phone line. After all, you don't want to compete with a modem for his attention.
Okay, hackers don't use modems
anymore.
Anymore.
It's over the cable or over an ADSL line or a satellite.
And if they do use modems, obviously you can just pat them on the head anyway and say, good luck.
If you expect your hacker to go outside and enjoy the great outdoors, you'll have a long wait. Most hackers like to stay indoors in front of the computer. You may occasionally venture outside to go to a computer swap meet. Many hackers preach the motto, all information must be free and accessible, but don't assume he means that he'll be an open door of communication in regards to your relationship.
If your hacker boy has a slight interest in biogenetics, don't let him talk at you into becoming a techno guinea pig. This means saying no when he asks you to implant a tracker microchip in your wrist. Make your pets off limit while you're at it.
Ooh, what about the cat?
Be flexible when it comes to his online pals. He may want to spend hours and hours chatting with his fellow lone gunman about how to take down the NSA, but then chat with you about your day. Just be suspicious if he's partial to sex chats with strangers.
Be prepared to watch movies like Akira, Tetsuo, Hardware, and Blade Runner, many a Friday and night. If you love Johnny Mnemonic, get a new boyfriend. That movie sucked.
Sean loves that movie.
Somebody should have given this to Adrian.
I sent it to Sean. Yeah. They both read it.
Except Paul Holiday.
Anniversary and birthday gifts to come from Fry's Electronics or another Radio Shack-esque store.
Look, a splitter.
Thanks.
Gold-plated.
You know I love Unix.
Help just for you. Burn Unix.
Possibly C. Don't ask, just do it. Oh, and if you really want to impress them, learn Lex, Yak, and Emacs.
Yep.
Demonstrate pearls of wisdom. Wield VI like a wizard and explain why Linux is the only moral...
OS choice,
okay. I have no idea what that means. I quote
a whole bunch of programming languages.
I kind of figure that out, but all I have to say is I can make monkey noise and throw my own feces.
Yeah. Hackers are still deep down social misfits. This means he'll probably play a lot of Illuminati or Robo Rally instead of wanting to go out to a party or a dance club. Deal with it.
That's awesome.
Let's see.
The Raver boy.
This applies to Bob.
See if it applies to Bob.
See if it applies to Bob.
I don't fucking like it.
Try not to be openly embarrassed by his choice in wardrobe. River boys don't wear clothes. They wear costumes. This means glitter, fake fur, and any kind of shiny material.
I'm obviously not a river boy.
You're probably going to wear huge pants and stuffed animal backpacks, so don't be tempted to parade him around like a biker bar anytime soon. If you like to party all night, you're in luck. Ravers love to start dancing at 11 p.m. and then eventually pass out at around 8 a.m.
8 a.m.? Weakness.
Weak! Of course, they tend to take on lots of acid and speed to stay awake, so don't expect him to be coherent just because his eyes are open.
Also, be prepared to watch your boyfriend trying to order bagels at 9 a.m. Saturday with a head full of acid. After 8 hours of repetitive, mind-numbing beats in his head, his hearing is shot, so he's yelling. And his synapses are so fried, he's even speaking English is a big accomplishment. Basically, the residue drugs in his system are just the icing on the cake. Raver tip, buy the bagel for him and avoid nasty entanglements with huge over...
Hungover punk rock bagel girl.
Okay. Resist the temptation.
No, but that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, picking up...
The redneck.
The redneck.
As I am one.
Brush up on your hunting and fishing skills. Any woman who can clean a fish will capture a redneck's heart. This is, of course, done in the woman's perspective, dating a male.
You'll impress your redneck if you cook anything... In the Elvis cookbook.
Ribs or the Wall's barbecue sauce. Also biscuit, yeah.
That would satisfy Sean.
You want to cook anything for Sean.
Barbecue sauce.
Make anything. Make, like, eggs and put barbecue sauce on it.
When he says, let's go make out at the tractor pull, don't laugh. He's not joking.
Don't mock Elvis. Ever. Oops, I missed one.
Always keep plenty of Pabst six packs and beef jerky in your fridge.
If he gives you a gun rack for Christmas, it means he really loves you.
Be prepared to watch a lot of professional wrestling. He'll think it's sexy.
Before you kiss him, make sure he takes the toothpick out of his mouth. Oh.
Be open-minded about the definition of romance. To him, it might mean spray painting your name on a water tower.
Don't offer to make curtains for his monster truck. The other guys will just hassle him.
Make friends with his hunting dogs. They will more than likely come before you in most cases.
Yep. Let go of the idea of changing his wardrobe. He takes pride in the free t-shirts he can get from smoking four packs of Marlboro a day.
Oh. Get a good health insurance plan. His idea of fun might be to take you tornado chasing.
If you're an animal rights activist or a vegetarian, you might want to rethink your relationship. There's a good chance he's into taxidermy.
Try not to make fun of the furniture in his living room. A cable spool makes a damn cool end table.
It does. What's wrong with that? Are we rednecks?
Don't expect diamond earrings on your birthday. He does most of his shopping in the same place he gets his
bottle. Oh, I just read the bottom one.
Okay. If he says you look like Daisy Duke, he's paying you an awfully high compliment.
Lard is not a sex aid.
Oh, brutal. When you ask to see his art, don't be surprised if the frame is a toilet seat or his masterpiece is painted on velvet.
Being hogtied is not the best form of foreplay. Watch out for rope burns.
Any other ones? We're going to end the show. It's the show's over.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
The show's crashing.
Camera's blinking. That means it's time to go.
Time to go. And we didn't get anybody on camera.
I'll get it on camera. I'm going to go over to the camera. And, well, this won't interest the people in Radio Land, but we're all going to say bye as we get on the camera.
La la la.
Who are you saying goodbye to first?
Saying goodbye to Bob from Peru with his hat.
It's Bob. Nice.
Bye, guys, from Dak.
That's
it. And Black Wolf.
Mm-hmm. The classic Dak wave.
Back off, man! Don't make me lose this!
It's a screwdriver.
Projectile vomit. I'm the cameraman for the night, so I'm going to have to put myself on the screen.
He's going to stab himself with an open object leading an exit.
People can tell me.
Down. There he is. Oh, there he is.
There we go. Everyone say goodbye.
Excellent. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to... Oh, there's the
just
noise.
Died.
Just died. I'm going to put on some music now.
We put on Limp Bizkit again, because we can. Oh, no.
Why don't you put on the Canadian National Anthem from that album if you've got it?
I don't have the whole album. I just got that. I haven't downloaded the album yet.
You have to hear that. That is hysterical.
Is it from the movie? Or
no, it is on the album. It is
Terrence and Phillips and Lee Getty. Lee Getty.
You're dyslexic.
Yeah, I am. Shane, I am dyslexic.
So am I.
Singing the Canadian national anthem. It's just killer funny. Oh, I mean, they don't even really do too much. It's just hearing Terrence and Phillips singing and farting during the Canadian national anthem. That's just especially during the French parts, you know.
What's funny about that?
I don't know what's funny about that. About that.
So we're gonna listen to Limp Bizkit because we don't have that Canadian national anthem.
Nobody likes you.
Nobody like you, I guess.
Nobody likes you.